Thank you, Danny and worship team. King forevermore. King forevermore. That helps us put things in perspective in a variety of circumstances. Really, no matter what comes our way. King forevermore. It helps us when we're afraid. Have you ever been afraid? I'm not talking about startled when somebody walks in the room and surprises you. I'm not talking about maybe a nightmare and you wake up and, okay, that wasn't real. I can go back to sleep. I'm not talking about the anxiety of walking alone in a dark place. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about fear that can set in on your heart and take root and keep you awake in the long hours of the night. Perhaps even night after night. I'm talking about fear that can roll into panic and long-term anxiety. I'm talking about fear that can be paralyzing. And honestly, I can talk about it in terms like that because I myself have experienced it. And I think that probably some of us here have. And if you haven't, great, but you can still listen because you might someday. The Bible says about 100 times, fear not. So there you have it. Right? Okay, problem solved. In fact, if you roll together all the times that the Bible says, don't be worried, don't be alarmed, don't fret, if you consider the times that we read things like, be bold, be strong, be courageous, if you add up the times that we are told, trust in God, or don't fear anyone else but God with the holy respect that he deserves. If you count all that together, over 350 times. In fact, there's books written, one promise for every day of the year. Do not be afraid. And the reasons we don't have to be afraid. Last week, a dear brother and sister of ours shared in really concrete terms about wrestling with fear, about questions of faith. We're talking about Mike and Valerie. For those of you who might not have been here last week, Mike and Valerie have gone out from our church family and they serve in West Africa. They were involved in a car accident a couple of weeks ago. Mike, Valerie, their three youngest kids, a couple of coworkers were in the vehicle when they were struck by someone on a motorcycle. The person who hit them was killed. It was a tragic, a terrible circumstance. And of course, one that had legal implications. Now, they were entirely innocent in the matter. They were in their lane. They were driving like they should be driving. And this person pulled out head on and struck them. But as Mike was sharing with us last week, because he had a trial coming up, that trial was this Friday. He said, my biggest struggle is fighting back fear and trusting God in complete surrender. Because of the laws of the land, I'm charged with involuntary manslaughter. He was navigating a foreign legal system. He was dealing with it in a second language. He faced the very real possibility of prison, considering separation from family and in a third world country, prison conditions that are beyond imagination. And fear, as our brother shared, had taken root. Fear, we struggle with it. We have faith. We believe. We know that he's king forever. But that fear can take root and the battle takes place. Our church family was praying in the course of the week. Thousands of people around the world praying. By the time of the trial on Friday, Mike was able to write, I am at peace, whatever the outcome. Victory over fear. Praise the Lord that the outcome was as favorable as possible. Mike is free, and there should be no consequences at all from this terrible circumstance, accept the positive consequences of prayer that has been engendered, of hearts that have been enlivened, of victory over fear. We continue to pray for a family, another family that has experienced loss and tragedy, and we continue to pray that the gospel will be successful for them. But we can draw a good lesson about overcoming a fear, a good lesson about what we are aiming for, what we are told should be our experience, and that is peace in every circumstance. Remember, before the trial, I am at peace with whatever the outcome may be. For those of us who experience fear, that can be our condition. Peace, no matter what the outcome, no matter what the circumstances. So if you're like me, you might be out there saying, okay, great, but how? How can that be my experience? I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible, Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. And as we prepare to read this, please keep in mind that the book of Hebrews was written to a people who were likely about to experience trial. They had probably already experienced it, but there was an anticipation of persecution and some measure of concern that there would be people who, in the face of persecution, fall away from faith because of the pending difficulties, stepping back in fear. And the author is writing to encourage faith, to bolster faith, to confront, to strengthen the ability to confront the difficult circumstances that are ahead. That is part of the reason for writing the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 is the conclusion of the book. Very often we look at these verses as kind of popcorn commands, individual, not really related to each other. But I think that we'll see that these verses are very closely related and can be very powerful in our lives. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Three things that we read in these verses that help us in this matter of confronting fear in our lives. The greatest one, the thing he starts out with right away, I, the Lord speaking, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. That's the answer to fear. The Lord is with you. You can see in your scriptures that this is actually a quote from the Old Testament. And it really helps us to look at some of the ways that this concept has been communicated to us throughout salvation history, throughout the scriptures. We read it when Isaac is facing fear in a foreign land. Just imagine for a minute, it's you and your family. That's it. You live among a foreign people. There is no government, no police force, no army that's going to step in if there's an outside invasion. There's no community that is necessarily going to be there in a time of famine or a time of need to help each other in provision. You're on your own, as it were. Whatever resources you have are the only resources that your own family is able to muster up. Isaac is afraid, and the Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. It's not just your own resources. Fear not, for I am with you. Fast forward about 500 years. Joshua, about to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. He is in charge of a vast horde of folks. They are looking to him for leadership. He's going into a land with walled cities and armies that seem to be made up of giants. And the Lord says, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Fast forward another 500 years. The boy David, anointed to be king over Israel, but pursued by Saul, who wants to put him to death because he fears for his throne. David, now out in the wilderness with a ragtag band of followers, and Saul trying to kill him, and at Saul's disposal are all of the resources of the whole kingdom. And David says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. And then another 500 years, Isaiah writing to a people in exile, a people who have been torn from their land, displaced into a foreign land. Once again, no resources at their disposal. On their own, no hope of ever returning. And the scriptures say, the Lord speaks, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. And then Jesus, another 500 years. To a tiny band of disciples that's supposed to transform the whole world. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the Apostle Paul writing, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. This is not some lone promise here in the book of Hebrews given to an obscure people in a corner of the world. This is a theme of the history of God's dealings with his people. I am with you. Do not be afraid. And keep in mind who we're talking about. This is the glorious creator of the whole universe. This is the one who holds the stars and the universe in his hand, who set them in order. This is Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, the image of the invisible God. This is the Alpha and Omega. This is the one who is perfect in holiness, entirely just, wholly good towards us. And he says, I am with you to the very end of the age. In fact, he's not only with us, he's in us. That was the powerful moment in my own wrestling with fear. About 7 years ago, honestly, it's something I wrestle with to this very day. I have lain awake at night with the fears pressing in and rolling into panic. I have had my heart and my mind taken hold of and been in the midst of the struggle. And it was when a friend stepped in and said, Tom, is Jesus with you? Yeah, of course he's with me. Then when those fears set in, imagine the very worst. Imagine the absolute very worst that your fevered 2 a.m. in the middle of the dark mind can conjure up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Imagine the very worst of those fears and put Jesus right next to you. Play out those circumstances to the very end, but put him beside you all the way. And it was transformational. Jesus is there, and he is with us, and therefore we don't have to be afraid. Amazingly, the scripture doesn't stop there. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper. Wait, what? The Lord's the creator of all the universe, and I'm supposed to serve Him. He is worthy of my service. He is worthy of my worship. He is God. I'm just a little person. And He flips the script. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. What does it mean? Well, first of all, what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that He's there necessarily to fix it the way we want it to be fixed, whatever it might be. It doesn't mean that He is there so that things will turn out the way that we want them to turn out. Once again, you have David. Throughout the Psalms, we see that fear is something that he wrestled with. But as he's pursued by Saul, he writes, God is my helper. David knew it. God is my helper, the upholder of my life. He wrote, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's able to say, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved. He knew for a fact that God was his helper, but he also knew from firsthand experience that that doesn't mean that things are always going to be pleasant every step of the way. The earth is trembling. The mountains seem as if they're thrown into the middle of the sea. My life is turned upside down. My foundations are shaken. I don't understand what's going on, but the Lord is my helper, therefore I will not fear. It doesn't mean that He's always going to fix things the way that we want them to be fixed, but it does mean that He will help us in our circumstances. Just to reiterate, because it's such an important lesson and it runs in true contrariness to a health and wealth gospel that is preached in our day, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul wrote about trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword, and said, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. His help doesn't mean that things will always turn out the way we want them to turn out, but it does mean that He will uphold us. Have you wanted to be held in the middle of your fears? The one with a mighty and righteous right hand holds you. It means that He will counsel us. Is that what you need to know what's the right thing to do? If only I knew what I should do, I would be able to do it. Our helper is our counsel. He gives us the guidance we need. He promises to transform us in the midst of our circumstances, to be conformed to the character of Jesus Christ. And He never fails to do it if we will cling to Him in love and faithfulness. He is our helper, and He promises to preserve us blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, bless the Lord, He delivers us from the circumstances. We're so grateful when that's His choice. Sometimes He heals from that terrible sickness. Sometimes He rescues from that danger, because that is the thing that brings Him the greatest glory in those circumstances. And sometimes he allows us to endure the most difficult circumstances because he has greater purposes in mind. But no matter what the outcome might be, he is our helper in the middle of the trouble. To uphold, to preserve, to transform, to counsel, to comfort, to guide. The Lord is my helper. And therefore, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's the third little thing here that helps us with our fears. The Lord is with us. The Lord is our helper. And people can't do anything of significance to you from eternal perspective. If you like to read the NIV, it brings out an important contrast here. What can mortal man do to me? Setting in contrast the idea of this transient life, of the mortality of decaying flesh, put in contrast to eternal glory, eternal life within us. Sure, they can take your possessions, but they're going to burn up anyway. Sure, they can throw you in prison, but you're never alone. They can take your job, but your eternal purpose is His glory. They can hurt you, but your flesh is decaying anyway, and He'll preserve you to the end. They can take your life, but He gives you eternal life. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear, give your due honor, respect, service, and first love to the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." The author is trying to give us a perspective on temporary circumstances that just pales in comparison to eternal glories. And so we are able to say, I just love that word, confidently. In the middle of the fears, in the middle of the night, we are able to say confidently, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. Mortal man can't do anything to me. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Now you might be asking, okay, all right, but is that true for me now? That was true then. That's great for Isaac and David and Joshua and people of Israel and Jesus and Peter and Paul. What about me? What about my circumstances today? Verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's talking to people today. He's saying, look back and remember those who preceded you. In the book of Hebrews, he goes way back to Abraham, to Moses, to the prophets, reminds us of their faith, reminds us of the outcome of their way of life. And remember, sometimes the outcome wasn't very pleasant in human terms, but the author points to eternal glory. He's saying, remember specifically the people who you knew who went before you. Look at the outcome of their way of life. They spoke the word of God to you. They suffered for it. And now there's a church. Now there are souls that are saved, purchased by Jesus for eternity. Look at the outcome of their way of life despite their circumstances and imitate that faith. We're not talking about things that only happened hundreds or thousands of years ago. We're talking about the things that happened yesterday. And the Jesus who was there for them yesterday is here for you today, and he will be the very same tomorrow and forever. Jesus was there for Joshua as they entered into that land and fought those terrible battles and sometimes suffered terrible losses and sometimes had wonderful victories. Jesus was there for a young teen girl named Mary who found herself to be with child, the Son of God, to be born of her. Fearful circumstances. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Jesus was there for Peter who gave into his fears. He gave into his fears. He betrayed Jesus. And Jesus reinstated him and said, you are going to be the leader of this church. You are going to be my witness. Go in my power. I am with you always. Even when we fail, he never fails. Nothing needs to replace him in our lives. Nothing needs to change in what he's done for us. Nothing needs to be added to what he has done for us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there for our brother Mike this week. We saw it. It was beautiful. He is there today for people in our congregation who are suffering. I have the joy of sitting at bedsides of people who are confronted with the worst of circumstances and overflow with faith and overflow with hope and joy and anticipation. Jesus is with your brothers and sisters today. And so, tomorrow, whatever it is, whatever the circumstances, whatever the fear that rises up, whatever might come, and it will come, he is there. He is the same. We can say with confidence, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So, what do you do? What are the concrete steps to take? You can be at peace, whatever the circumstances might be. And the first thing, very clear from this passage, is do not trust in human means. Stop trusting in human means. The passage started out with, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with whatever you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is guarding those believers from putting their trust in the security of material possessions that they can accumulate for themselves. Your security is not in material possessions. Stop loving those things. Stop pursuing those things. The author says, Jesus is with you. That's what you need. Elsewhere in the scriptures, we're told very clear that we can't trust in human means. We can't trust in people. David said some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. Those were the powerful means of battle. But we trust in the Lord. In our day, some trust what? In plans that we can make? Some trust in doctors who can treat us. Some trust in mighty weapons of warfare. We trust in the Lord. Now, I really want to be careful here. We have to consider the whole context of scriptures. We are encouraged, we are admonished to plan well. We are given instruments of God's working in our lives, like medicine and doctors and financial planners. We are given these means of God's provision, but where is our hope? Where is our trust? Who are we leaning on? Trust in the Lord. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows me. That's what the Lord says. So stop trusting in human means. Instead, trust in the one who is with you and who is your helper. And that verse that we read leads right into this one. Don't trust in those things. Don't boast in those things. Instead, boast in this, that you know me. And so the question we're confronted with this morning is, do you know him? Not about him. Do you know him? We come to the table this morning because Jesus opened the way for us to eternal life. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. If you do not know him in the way that Jesus provided for, then all of these promises are empty. You are on your own in a very fearsome world. But for those who know him, Jesus is with us, and he is in us, and he will never abandon us, and he will help us along the way. And nobody can do anything to us. And then finally, put your fears in perspective. When they press in, remember, those are mortal fears of transient circumstances. They do not have to do with eternity, which is in the mighty hands of our God, who loves us and is with us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. For the proof that you have defeated every enemy, and you have defeated the enemy of fear. Lord, I pray again for myself. We pray for, continue to pray for Mike and for Valerie and for others among us who might be wrestling with this issue this morning, that your presence, that your power, that your goodness, that your grace and your provision would be enough to overcome every fear, to turn them into rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.